You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We're back 28 hours from the NFL draft in Detroit, and we bring in Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus to help us better understand what is going on. We spent a lot of time on the quarterbacks, but he takes a deep dive into the strengths and weaknesses of the top 50 players. Trevor, many thanks. Appreciate you joining us. An exciting time for all who follow the draft, and I know you are high on that list of those who do. So let's start with just an overall view of what are you most intrigued in watching for tomorrow night?
What in the world is going to happen with not just these quarterbacks, but all of these offensive players, truly? I mean, like, that's the big mystery here that we have is, okay, we figure that the first three picks are going to be quarterbacks, but what happens after that? I mean, we're talking about no defensive players in the top 10 as a possibility, which is crazy. I mean, we've got great defensive players here in this class, some of them in the SEC that we've talked about for a long time. And yet the need, the want, the hunger, the starvation, if you will, for offensive talent right now in this draft with these team needs is incredible. And I think that we're going to see a big time run on offensive playmakers and especially offensive tackles when it comes to this first round. So to me, that's been the talk over the last month or so. But seeing actually where they come off the board and how desperate these teams are, not just to use their first round picks on guys on the offensive side of the ball, but multiple picks, right? Trading up, making sure I got to go up and get my guy over this team, all of that. Like, how desperate are these teams really going to be for these offensive playmakers? That's what I'm really most excited to see what happens on Thursday night.
So, Trevor, beyond the first three picks, which we all know will be quarterbacks, so what then happens? What are you lasered in on?
Yeah, I just kind of had a conversation with somebody earlier today where I look at number four. It's the Arizona Cardinals, and that's really where the draft begins, right? Their general manager, Monty Austin-Fort from last year, he was a first-time general manager, and yet he showed he's not afraid to do a little bit of wheeling and dealing, right? He had the number three overall pick last year, trades all the way down to number 12, then hops all the way back up to number six to get the player that they probably would have taken at number three overall. They just got an extra first-round pick to do it three picks later. And so we know that he is going to want to work those phones on Thursday night. But the question is there going to be a desperation later in the draft for one of those teams to come up and go get a quarterback? Because it depends who it is, right? If the first three picks go the way that it seems like it's going to right now, Caleb Williams at number one overall, Jaden Daniels at number two, Drake May at number three, that leaves McCarthy as the odd man out or the last man of the big four. Now, for months, we've been saying, okay, well, the New York Giants, the Minnesota Vikings, the Denver Broncos, the Las Vegas Raiders, they all need quarterbacks, so they would certainly be interested in moving up to four. Maybe not. Right? We've heard some whispers over the last couple of days. Okay, well, maybe the Giants aren't really in on McCarthy, right? If it was Drake May who was available at number four, I think they'd get desperate. Well, maybe not desperate, just they'd have a desire to want to move up. The same thing with the Minnesota Vikings when they traded their second round pick next year and a couple of more picks to get number 23 this year. Now they've got two first round picks. They're loaded up. They're ready to go. If the quarterback they want is sitting there at number four overall, they know that the Arizona Cardinals are going to be willing to move. But it's not just every quarterback. It's not just, oh, a quarterback is going to be available. That means for sure the Cardinals are going to trade out and one of these teams are going to trade up. So that, again, is a question that I can't wait to see how it is answered, is it's not just any quarterback for these teams. It's specific ones. And we'll get to find out on Thursday night who the league is really in on when it comes to these big four. But, you know, Arizona, they could sit there and obviously take a fantastic wide receiver. Marvin Harrison Jr. would be a phenomenal pick. Malik Nabers, who we've heard recently, might be wide receiver one for a lot of these teams. Maybe he's wide receiver one for the Cardinals, and they kind of shock the world a little bit and go with Neighbors over Marvin Harrison Jr. But there's a lot of good options for them at number four, but there's no doubt it feels like that's where the draft starts this year.
Trevor, you mentioned Malik Neighbors moving up. There's always a lot of drama, those who move up. There's also, sadly, for the player and his family, those who seem to be slipping down the board. What are you seeing in those moving up and those moving down?
Yeah, I think that Malik is certainly one of those guys that it feels like he's moving up seems weird, right? I mean, there hasn't been football played since January, or for some of these guys even going back to November. But you do hear of the ebbs and flows of scouting reports and stock up and stock down, even in these couple of months leading up to the draft. And it's because we get to learn a lot more about what these full staffs think of these players. And a lot of times that means the owner is watching these guys and getting to know these guys. And for these pivotal first round picks, sometimes that means a lot. You know, you go through these top 30 visits, and I think, again, Malik Neighbors, it seems like he is somebody who has been on the rise. Another wide receiver in Romo Odunze from Washington, he has been on the rise as well. I'll tell you, his teammate, Michael Penix Jr., who is no stranger to the college football spotlight. Everybody knows who Michael Penix Jr. is after this past year and what he was able to do at Washington. But from an NFL draft perspective, it felt like Penix was sort of more of like a preferred second-round pick, maybe a late first-round pick. It feels like his momentum and kind of what you were saying, these late risers, feels like he is one of those guys who now all of a sudden he's talked about in top 15s, maybe even top 10s if a team loves him enough and kind of right off of that injury history that he's had in his past. And so those are a couple of guys that I've really been hearing a lot of love for, some guys that maybe aren't as drafted as high as what we thought previously. Dallas Turner might be in that mix, the edge rusher from Alabama. It felt like it was a lock for him to go in the top 10, number 8 overall for the Atlanta Falcons specifically. But there's been some talk of, okay, maybe they would prefer Laiatu Latu, the pass rusher from UCLA, the defensive coordinator, Jimmy Lake, of the Atlanta Falcons. Used to be at Washington where Latu was, also has a high school connection with Latu as well. So maybe they go that direction. If they do, perhaps Dallas Turner's fallen down the board a little bit. And then two other players seem to be in a little bit of a fall. A.D. Mitchell, I'm not sure. I think teams are going to be pretty split on A.D. Mitchell for, okay, he's a first-round talent. You just see the good. But other players or other staff evaluators are going to say, hey, where was the consistency? And then I think Jackson Powers Johnson as well, somebody we thought was a first-round lock after the Senior Bowl, an incredible performance in Mobile. Just feels like he's been creeping further and further down mock draft and consensus boards. He might be more of a late first or early second round pick as opposed to a top 20 guy he was a couple of months ago.
Trevor Sekema from Pro Football, thank you very, very much, Trevor. Fantastic stuff. As we head to the break, we'll get your reaction to all of that, more phone calls, and plenty of more guests as we roll on here in the middle of the week. We'll be right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Let's get to the calls again. And Susie is up next in Georgia. Hey, Susie.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
We are great.
Good. Good to hear your voice. Thank you for taking my call. Two things. First thing I did, well, I listen to the show every day. So I, you know, last Friday with Alyssa, and I got to talk to her. She took my call. What a pleasure. She handled herself so well. I just, you know, women in sports, and they're doing so good. And made me think, you know, Monday and Tuesday, it could have been called the Paul Jim Show. Because, you know, basically most of the calls were, you know, from his call on Friday. I'm not going to make any comment on it. Other than Jim gets a lot of response. That's why he's a great caller. My mom told me once, pick something that you want to do and do it better than anybody else. Well, you know what, Paul? Jim does it better than anybody else because he gets everybody's goat. They just, you know, they call and they just have to talk about, you know, it makes their curly hair go straight or their straight hair go curly when he goes off. And so it makes him a great caller. You know, I don't always agree with everything he says, but what would the show be if Jim never calls again? I just, you know, he's a lifer. He's an Hall of Famer. That being said, who was your crush when you were younger? Celebrity.
Wow, man. I've got a lot of ground to think about. Who was yours?
Mine was Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze?
I wanted to dance with Patrick Swayze.
Oh, man.
All I wanted was 60 minutes to dance with Patrick Swayze and my life would be made.
Only 60 minutes,
Because I just love to watch him dance. And all that. My husband, he really, really liked Angie Dickinson,
yeah,
and
Angie.
Raquel Welch.
Yeah, I mean, I remember both. I was too young to oogle them, but I know Raquel was. She was definitely one of the superstars of that era.
Oh, absolutely, and it's a shame she passed last year. She had what?
When I was in college, everybody had the Farrah Fawcett poster up.
Oh my God, yes!
Remember that one?
Oh yeah, yep. And what a sad end to her life. She was, you know, she was a classy lady too, till she died. So
for all these angels.
It's kind of fun to think about it. I remember we always liked Paul Newman because of his blue eyes.
He definitely had the. He and Redford owned the 70s, the 60s and 70s.
Oh, there wasn't any better than Paul Newman in my eyes as far as acting and all that, you know. So, yeah, that was an interesting thing he brought up about the celebrity crush. It just made me start thinking back, you know. And so it's kind of fun to think back and remember. So that's all I wanted to say. I'm glad you had a great weekend in Oklahoma. And I look forward every day to your show.
Thank you very much. Chris is up next in South Carolina.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hey, Chris.
Man, it's been a long day, Paul. I ain't getting much rest tonight, Paul. Been a long couple of days. But I was going to change up a little bit, man. I've been sitting here in my car listening to some music, Paul, enjoying myself.
What have you been listening to today?
Man, you ain't going to believe it, man. I kind of like all kind of good music, man. I like Ray Jam. That's one of my favorite, Black Betty. I like ZZ Top. I've been listening to some CCR Revival. Man, I've just been relaxing today, Paul.
Chris, that's not a bad thing to do.
Well, I had to kind of dial it back a little bit. But your first two guests today, man, that was pretty awesome, Paul. You're doing a pretty good job of getting some new good entertainment in here. Man, they approve. They approve.
Well,
by the
Chris, we've got a pretty good team here that we don't just settle for the usual suspects. I mean, we want to bring new talent to the show, just like you.
Man, Paul, they doing a good job. Man, they doing a good job today, Paul. I swear they are. I mean, like, you got the Tiger of the Fall Power Farm Show approval, so you don't have to put them in Jeff's list over there on the corner of your desk. They good. Bring them back. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys from On3 come on and talk about the draft tonight, man. See how many Tigers they think going to go.
Well, Chris, thank you very much for the call. Jim is up next. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Paul. I love it. I absolutely love it. Susie gets it. Susie gets it.
She does.
And you're right, Susie. I won't be calling this stinking show anymore, but I'm calling this time as an exception because you get it. And you know what, Paul? And I think you know this. I know you know this. I got a celebrity crush on Alyssa Lane. Hey, I'm the celebrity in that group, not Alyssa, and you know that. I'm the celebrity. Maybe she has a crush on me. Anyway, that's all
I
got.
You know, Jim, I think there's a reasonable chance, and I know I'm going to get in trouble, but I think Alyssa Lang does have a crush on you.
I think
it's time for her to admit it, don't you?
I raved about her about a year ago.
Yeah.
Oh, would Jim call? Is Jim going to call? All day long she talked about me. Look, I think she's a decent woman. She made me mad because she pitted callers against me. That she did that. And that made me mad. But I didn't attack her. I just criticized. I'm a critical guy, Paul. You know that. That's all I'm about. But Susie, thank you. You get it. Thank you, Susie. Bye-bye.
So Jim said Alyssa is a decent person. Wow. Jim just said that Alyssa Lang has a celebrity crush on him, right? Because he's the celebrity. Tim, and he called this a stinking show. Right. All in a day. Tim is up next. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing great.
And it's Irish, Tim. They don't ever get that right, but I'm going to try to be respectable today. I owe you an apology. I was a little rough on you the last couple of times I called. But you got to realize where I'm coming from. Born and raised in an Irish Catholic family. Been a Notre Dame fan forever. If you cut me, I bleed green, Paul, just like all the Alabama fans and the LSU fans and the Georgia fans. If you ain't going to be with them, win or lose, get off the bandwagon and go to a bar, okay? But I pull for them no matter what, win or lose. And I will say this. We have not been there in a while. We've won our national championships in the past. And I know we've had our chances with Alabama and Georgia, and we've come up short. We're always several players short of competing for that national championship. And I admit that, and I realize that. And it's no excuse, but I know our grading system, what we can accept in athletes with grades, is a little higher expectation than other schools. But that being said, it still comes down to the coaching and the players executing the plays. And we haven't been able to do that when it gets time crunch time. But we've got a returning defense that's ranked real high. If Riley Leonard can get healthy, I think Notre Dame will be in the picture this year. I appreciate the gentleman who called the other day kind of backing me up. We do have a winning record against the SEC. I realize it was not in the big games, but I hope that changes this year. Paul, I do love your show. I listen all the time. I just want everyone to know that I love Notre Dame just like they love their school, and sometimes I get a little riled up. But our first game is against Texas A&M, and you can expect a call from me, win or lose, after that game.
I am eagerly anticipating that call. Morgan is in Maryland. Hello, Morgan.
Hello, Paul. Greetings from Rockville. How are you?
Thank you very much. Great to hear from you.
I want to lob in my boyhood celebrity crush would be Cheryl Ladd.
Ooh, same show.
How about that?
Charlie's Angels.
Same show, but a little bit unconventional.
Yeah, no, she was the least famous of the three, and they were all pretty well known. But I can understand that she was a very good actor.
When my parents clean their attic out, whenever that takes place, I guarantee there's a poster up there of Cheryl Ladd. I'm certain of it. I wanted to last week you shared some details on your trip out to Norman and what an excellent experience that was. And I've got an entire branch of my family tree that are Oklahoma Sooner fanatics, grew up in Oklahoma, attended OU, and they are just the classiest, nicest, most passionate fans outside of the SEC that I've ever met, and they are so excited to be joining the SEC. One of them told me a story, a Barry Switzer story. In 1985, Barry Switzer and his Oklahoma Sooners are getting ready to play Oklahoma State. And Barry gathers his defense up in the locker room before the game, and he says to the defense, take it to them, but whatever you do, don't knock the starting running back out of the game. Do not knock Thurman Thomas out of the game. And Tony Casillas, his star defensive lineman, says, you know, coach, you're always telling us to knock the quarterback and the running back out of the game. Why do you not want us to knock him out? And Barry Sanders said, because his backup is a little known player named Barry Sanders.
Oh, wow.
And I do not want to tangle with him.
That is amazing. That's a great story. And Morgan, you may have heard me say this Monday, but we spent about 20 minutes with Barry Switzer out there. And he is, he's just one of a kind. Just funny, glib, sarcastic. He still got it after all these years.
You know, after you shared that with us, Paul, I looked him up on Wikipedia, and I'm pretty sure that it said he was born in 1937.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's late 80s, and I was just so, relieved to hear that he's still.
He was gigging me. We had him on a couple of months ago, and for whatever reason, we've never had him on because I didn't even think he was attainable. And he was making fun of me the whole time. Like there was a big group around us. He said, "Oh yeah, this guy. He's had me on. He's had me on his talk show one time, and after all these years, we were snubbing him, and we'll be out there again in a couple of months, and I can guarantee you, Barry will be the first guest."
Hey, could I just offer a little bit of marriage counseling to Rusty from a week or so ago?
Yeah, go ahead.
Paul, I'm as a happily married man, which I've heard you say that you are, and I share that that honor. You've experienced a time when your wife, either physically or you perceived her, just have a smile on her head, on her face, and just pat you on the head and kind of shoo you away when you come up with a not an ideal idea.
Right.
And my advice to Rusty is, Rusty, it's all about timing. And if you go to your wife and propose that you're going to paint your deck and the walls around your deck Kentucky blue and white, you might not want to do it in a year you lose a bowl game to Clemson and lose an NCAA basketball game to Oakland.
Yeah, you know, Morgan, I can assure you that in all the decisions the two of us have made in more than 30 years, the color of what to paint a room has never come up. And it never
you
will.
You mentioned that, and I was nodding my head.
I truthfully don't care what color the rooms are. Hey, thanks for the call, Morgan. Always a pleasure. We'll take a short break. Connor O'Garrett joining us in just a moment.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and how about that headline? You ready for football? Saturday down south, ranking the 16 best quarterback situations in the SEC, and that's we're having to adjust to that because there are now 16 quarterback rooms in the Southeastern Conference. And we compliment Connor O'Gara for being the first to figure that out. Connor, what's going on?
Oh, I can't even count to 16. That was an editor decision to be able to be like, Connor, it's not 14 anymore. It's actually 16. I was like, all right, we got to go back to the well. It's difficult. You know, it's a transition for all of us, but you know, Texas and Oklahoma coming to the SEC, it is happening, and it just kind of leaned into it as much as possible.
And you winning a few friends in Austin today by proclaiming what seems pretty obvious, they have the best quarterback room in the SEC.
Yeah, I think they do. And I could make the case, I think they have the best quarterback room in all of college football. I think that if you're looking at what Quinn Ewers did last year, it's hard not to be impressed. I mean, there's a reason why this guy is right now, if you go to the current odds, he is the Heisman Trophy favorite. He's one of the five best quarterbacks in all of college football coming back. And so from that standpoint, you feel good about who you have as your QB1. But seeing what Arch did in the spring game was important because it came on the heels of a really impressive spring wherein Steve Sarkisian continued to praise him and praise his development. Let's remember this time last year, Malik Murphy kind of stole the show in Texas's spring game, and he parlays that into QB2 honors with the Longhorns, and then he's able to ultimately win a couple of games while Quinn Ewers was out, and then he becomes the starter at Duke, or at least it looks like he's going to become the starter at Duke. And so now Arch steps into this role as QB2, wherein that could be really significant. Quinn Ewers has missed multiple games due to injury each of the last two seasons. It could be up to Arch Manning to keep Texas's playoff national championship hopes alive. And so I think you see what he did in that spring game. He just checks so many boxes. And right now, going into year two, I think Texas fans are feeling a lot better about the guy that they have behind Quinn Ewers.
And you have Alabama second. And at first, I did a pause, Connor, as we take a quick look at Texas's schedule. But what's interesting as we transfer to Alabama is not only do they have Ty Simpson, they have Lonergan, but they picked up a really key element from where else but Washington.
Yeah, Austin Mack is a guy that they're really excited about and is considered kind of this quarterback of the future. At least he was at Washington. That's kind of the way that he's being billed at Alabama as well. But think about the conversations we were having about Alabama's quarterback room at this time last year. Coming off of that spring game, it was, oh boy, Jalen Milroe, Ty Simpson, they're not ready. They're going to the portal. They're getting Tyler Buchner. Who's going to start at quarterback for Alabama? Is this going to be the worst quarterback in Tuscaloosa since blah, blah, blah? And now here we are a year later, Jalen Milroe comes back. He got more Heisman votes than any returner in college football. Ty Simpson looks the part in year three and looks like he's really taking to that offense. Kalen DeBoer talked about his pocket presence being the best of anyone in that quarterback room right now. And you have to feel really good if you're an Alabama fan about the quarterback situation. Now, we have a lot of questions about what it's going to look like at the pass catcher spots. Do they have those guys on defense? Not having Nick Saban to be able to troubleshoot on defense, that feels significant. But Alabama at quarterback, yeah, I think Alabama absolutely is sitting there in a much better spot than they were at this time last year.
Certainly Georgia lost one of their key backups, but they're still pretty solid. But as we look through, I'm really intrigued by LSU because last year they were in great shape with Daniels and Nussmeier. You have them ranked number six this time around.
I like Gary Nussmeier because there has been this trend in college football to want to leave after year one or year two if you're not starter. And if you're not the starter, then it's kind of like, all right, what are you doing here? You're going to wait around. And he did the thing that is so unpopular now. A new coaching staff comes in and he's willing to wait it out. And even though they said Jaden Daniels is going to be the guy, he was willing to sit behind him. And even though last year he doesn't end up getting to be the guy at any point until the bowl game, he still is able to develop and grow. And you see that. You saw a really patient game plan from him in the bowl game. And a guy that I feel like I've been talking about is this gunslinger for the last 3 years, in part because of what he did in the second half of the SEC championship against Georgia a couple years ago. This is a guy who looks like he's taking those next steps. So I think LSU fans who feel really good about Garrett Nussmeier. And then quietly adding a guy in A.J. Swan as a backup who, look, Vandy's a tough spot to be a starting quarterback. This is an Elite 11 guy, somebody that isn't the type of guy that Vandy typically gets And I would love to see what it looks like, you know, with different surroundings, a much, much better offensive line, needless to say, at LSU than the one he had at Vandy. So I think that LSU fans are feeling really confident about the quarterback situation they have, even in a post-Jaden Daniels world.
One or two more quickly. I understand where you're coming from, but Tennessee at 9, that should raise some eyebrows from Big Orange Country.
I love Nico Iamaleava, and I am still crushing the pronunciation of that one. I don't love what's behind him. And I think Tennessee fans would even admit, yes, spring game performance was great, but you're relying on former walk-on and then an early enrollee behind Nico Iamaleava. And that's the troubling part. That's why you get into situations. If we were just ranking quarterbacks, I would probably have Nico closer to that 7 spot. But when you look at situations, Tennessee is in a really tough spot if he goes down. And I think that there is a desire to want to run the Josh Heupel offense the way it was meant to be run. And if you don't feel particularly good about your backup situation, you kind of question what you can do from a quarterback mobility standpoint. And it was great seeing what he could do against Iowa in the Citrus Bowl, my neck of the woods down here in Orlando, and the mobility that you saw from him and the nose for the end zone, all those different things. But you got to be able to run your full offense, because if you don't, you're going to hold yourself back. And I think that's more so the issue I have with Tennessee's quarterback situation.
Connor, before you go, we'll see you again later in the spring and summer, but what's happening at the O'Gara house? I know you've got a newborn that you're dealing with. What's happening?
Took my daughter to the dentist for the first time today. It was a lovely experience. She was an absolute peach. Thank God for that. 11 months old. You know, they say once you get teeth, that's really when you should start going to the dentist. So I know we were the youngest ones there, or at least she was. I definitely wasn't. She was the youngest one there, and we, decided to just plant that seed right now. We just want to get that figured out. We want to establish good habits. So that's what we're all about right now. She's got a first birthday party coming up at the end of May. Paul, your invite will be forthcoming. We'd love for you to be able to make the trip up to Indianapolis to be able to spend that time with her. I know, you know, you'll send a very nice gift if you can't do so, but yeah, all is good here heading into the rare time of year in this world in which it feels like it kind of slows down for a minute.
You don't mind if we send Randy instead, do you?
I would mind. I'd prefer you. No offense, Randy.
Connor O'Gara joining us from Saturday down south. We'll take a short break. More to come on the draft and your phone calls right after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Saturday morning, have breakfast with the SEC. On Sunday at 8 a.m., have breakfast with the SEC Golf Championship. Sunday, 8 a.m., right here. And on Friday, a special guest, only one of the greatest musicians of all time, Kenny Chesney. He'll strum a few tunes, talk about his football playing days back in East Tennessee. He'll join us Friday. And let's check in with Cajun in Louisiana. Hello, Cajun.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. Hey, all this talk about celebrity crushes got me speculating about two of your callers. Number one, Jim. And number two, who's the idiot from Ohio that calls and says the SEC is overrated every afternoon?
Which idiot from Ohio? Oh, Elliot.
Elliott, yeah, I think we should start Elliott's overrated.com. But you have one guy in Jim who is braggadocious about his distaste for you in the show, and another guy who can't stand the SEC. But in both cases, Paul, they seem to call your show every afternoon. Is this not the antics of a fifth grader who likes the pretty girl but knows he can't get her and he has a secret crush? Paul, I think that for both Jim and Elliott, you are their celebrity crush. What do you think?
Cajun, anything I say here would incite a riot, so I thank you for your call. Hollywood is up next. Hollywood, good afternoon.
Hey, Coach Paul, how you doing, brother?
We are doing great. Thank you for checking in.
Hey, man, I just want you to wish my wife a happy birthday today. Today's her birthday, and her name's Jenny.
You said Jenny?
Yes, sir.
Well, Jenny, happy birthday from all of us here on the show. We hope all Hollywood's got something, either made dinner or it's got something special in store. What do you got going?
Well, I'm not too good a cook, but I plan on taking her out to eat, and we celebrate with the kids and the grandkids.
Well, that sounds like a great time. By the way, I didn't think you were cooking, but I thought I'd, you never know. I mean, there are some men who are chefs. So how many kids and grandchildren will be involved in all this?
Well, two kids and two grandkids is going to go with us tonight.
Well, that is fantastic. Well, I certainly hope all of you have a great time. That sounds very, very special.
Hey, Paul, I got one more question.
Okay.
Okay. I heard that when you went to school at the University of Tennessee, that is actually where the saying, the Tennessee came from. Is there any truth to that?
Until that is declassified, I would have to decline commenting until further notice.
Okay, my brother. And hey, listen, these guys, Jim, I-Man, Legend, and Larry, they're your best callers on there. They what make your show, Paul. And that idiot from Missouri, John, he needs to stay off the phone.
Hollywood, thank you, and you guys have a great time tonight. That sounds like a fantastic celebration. Speaking of Elliott, he is here, and good afternoon.
Paul, thanks for taking my call. Apparently, Jim called like 25 times Friday. I tried to talk to Alyssa. I think that's what I like most about your show is your guest host. And when Alyssa was on before, she talked about her alma mater, the Gamecocks. And she said that game environment is like no other. So my wife and I decided we're going to watch a Gamecock game. And we watched the 2022 number 5 Tennessee versus the Gamecocks, and it was pandemonium.
It was.
Crowd was throwing stuff on the field. It was back-to-back touchdowns. You had players in the locker room the night before still fighting like all SEC players do. It was kind of back in the day when the SEC was good.
Felix is up next.
Hey, Paul, I just want to touch back base and whatnot, and I heard Jim's call on Alyssa and everything, and I can see where a 30-year-old woman would want an 80-year-old man with no money.
Hey, it happened to Hugh Hefner. Rupert
Hugh
Murdoch.
Hefner,
I mean, it does happen. It rarely happens to someone who's not a billionaire, though.
Well, no, Hugh had some money, and he had some clout and pull, didn't he?
You know, Jim may be very wealthy for all I know. I've never met him.
Well, okay. I'll look for him on the billionaires list.
Yeah, I think Fortune's wealthiest top 50 list is out this week, so I'll check if I see his name right between Bill Gates and Warren Buffett.
I think he will be there, and hopefully he'll come back and share some more genius stuff with us.
Hey, thanks, Felix. Appreciate it. Let's check in next with David in Valdosta. Hello, David.
Hey, how y'all doing? Beautiful day in South Georgia, but as Game of Thrones people might say, winter's coming, and us folks in the South know summer's coming. But hey, I don't really have any issues with Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back. The allegations that he was accused of didn't have any performance-enhancing abilities for what he did on the field. And, yeah, I had celebrity crushes too, but this will date us. And, Paul, we're in the same era of age. So do you remember a movie called Bye Bye Birdie?
Oh, sure.
With Ann Margaret?
Oh, yeah.
So that's got to be a classic.
Hey, by the way, a lot of people, not only did you have a celebrity crush on Ann Margaret, but so did Elvis Presley.
Well, I'm not an Elvis fan, and maybe I was just jealous, so who knows.
Hey. No, Ann in the day was pretty much the centerpiece of I mean, she was slightly ahead of my time, but I remember her well.
Yeah, she's aged well also. But I want to hijack or stir the pot a little bit. Kind of, you know, maybe the Heisman Trust can lean on Major League Baseball to get the greatest hitter of all time, Pete Rose, in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you know, David, I understand where you're coming from, and I can say with great authority that will never happen. And most of it's Pete Rose's fault. I've been around him a couple of times, and his arrogance oozes from his veins just like the Aqua Velva. We'll take a short break. More to come in the final 2 hours. A couple more guests will get you ready for tomorrow night. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Watch the Paul Feinbaum Show weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. Plus, you can listen and watch on the ESPN app.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.